Good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Dwayne, and welcome to Encounter Life Church. I'm so happy you joined us this morning for worship. If this is your first time at our worship service, our online worship experience, could you text the word next, or excuse me, text the word new, I'm sorry, N-E-W to 301-804-2520. That's new to 301-804-2520 so we can connect with you. I pray your heart was blessed by our time of worship and song this morning as we get ready to go into the time of the word. But if you've been following on for a while, if this is not your first Sunday here, you want to know, Pastor Dwayne, how can I be more involved? How can I get connected with what you guys are doing at Encounter Life? What you can do is go to our website, encounterchurch.net/next. encounterchurch.net/next, N-E-X-T, and you can find out about how you can be involved in a life group. You know, how if you want to make a recommitment of your life to Christ, you can find out about that there and get more information about what's going on in Encounter Life. We have small groups, we call them life groups, that are meeting throughout the week. In a time, and it's a great opportunity. If you're enjoying the word on Sunday, it's a great opportunity to connect with other people and have some further discussion about what we learned or some principles or ask questions about the sermon during the week. So it's a great opportunity. We do those online via Zoom. If you want to be a part of that, definitely go to encounterchurch.net/next and you can find out about what's going on there. Also, if you've been watching, listen, during the week is a great opportunity for us to get some prayer. Every day of the week at noon, we do noonday prayer on Zoom. If you want to find out about how you can be a part of that noonday prayer, absolutely text the word new to 301-804-2520, and that's where you get updates about our prayer time every day on Zoom. We do it every day of the week. You know, it's not just Monday through Friday. Saturday through Saturday. We have prayer every day at noon. Somebody's going to be there. If you got a prayer request, they can uplift you in a time of prayer. Listen, we've been in a series that we call God on Film. We've been looking at some popular movies from the past and just getting some principles from them. Some of my favorite movies, and I'm sure there's some of yours. The first week we look at the Black Panther. I love that movie. And we said, show them who you are. And what we were saying is that God wants you to understand who you are in Christ so then we can show the world. And when we show the world that, then it shows the world who he is. And we can recognize that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then last week, we said, we are incredible. We looked at Bob Parr and the Incredibles. We looked at the Incredibles last week, and we said, you know what? With his presence indwelling you, you are a super. Just like the Incredibles were superheroes, God has equipped us, and his supernatural presence is inside you when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he can make you a super. He can make you extraordinary. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or imagine. That's what we talked about that last week. And today is another one of my favorites, man. We're going to Denzel today, y'all. We're going to Denzel. Today we're looking at Remember the Titans. I love that movie. That's one of my favorite movies, man. It gets me hyped. Anybody who's ever played football out there, when you walk to Remember the Titans, man, it starts the hair standing up on your skin because I love Denzel Washington in that movie. And today what we're going to be looking at from Remember the Titans is four keys to having victory in your life. You know, I love that one of the scenes in that movie is when Denzel says, will you ever quit? And they said, no, we want some more, we want some more, we want some more. They want victory. And I know that you want victory in your life. And God wants you to have victory in your life. Listen, he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said you're more than a conqueror, but there's four keys to you having victory. And we're going to look at those four keys this morning. I pray God blesses you through the word.
What is fatigue?
Armor flows!
Will you ever quit?
No! We want some more! We want some more! We want some more!
Turn in!
Let me ask you something, Mr. Campbell.
Uh-huh.
What kind of power you got?
Oh, man, you know I got some soul power.
What kind of power you got?
What kind of question is that? I got soul power!
Yes, you do!
Right on, let me ask you something now, Mr. Vertier.
Yes.
How strong are you?
I'm too strong.
What?
I'm too strong. Too strong.
Right on,
I want a victory.
Oh, I want a victory.
I want a victory.
No, I want a victory.
You want victory?
If you don't play football, it makes you want to play football. And I love that when Denzel Washington, one of my favorite clips, he asked them, what is pain? And he says, and they say French bread. And he says, what is fatigue? And they say army clothes. And then this is my favorite line. Will you ever quit? And that's what God is asking us this morning. And his players said, no, they'll never quit. We want more, we want more, and we want more. And at the end, they said they want victory. And today, I'm here to tell you, everybody in this room, I would just be willing to wager, there's nobody in here who would say, I don't want victory. All of us want to live a victorious life. Am I right? All of us want to live a victorious life. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, today, as we stand here, not all of us are walking in that victory that we want. And in this movie, that team, they had to go through some stuff because they it was during a time in the early 70s, I think it was around 1971, when there was a lot of racial tension going on. And there was a two schools that were brought together, white school and black school. So there was a lot of tension that those kids had to go through in order to become one mind. And before they could ever be victorious and become champions, they had to get on the same page, and they had to endure some hardship. And this morning, if you want to be victorious in your walk with God, if you want to be victorious in your life, you're going to have to endure some pain. You're going to have to endure some stuff. And this morning, what I'm going to do very briefly, I'm going to give you four keys to victory. Four keys to victory this morning for you and your walk with God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. If you could turn there, we're going to look at verse 7, and we're going to look at all the way to the end of the chapter. Well, we're going to split it up a little bit. We're going to look at the first few verses first, and then we're going to come back to the end. I want to give you four keys to victory that you will find here in Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 7 through 14 first. If you got it, say, I got it. All right, if you don't, it should be up on the screen right in front of you. It says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I can gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I'm still not all I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I can strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. This morning, for those of us who said, listen, last week Brother Dave said he's the God of the hills and valleys, and that is true. And because he's the God of the hills and valleys, he's in charge of your situation. But what you and I have a responsibility that we must, some things that we must apply based on the word of God that Paul has written this morning, if we want to walk in victory. And number one, what Paul says, listen, if you want to walk in victory, the first thing that you got to be is you got to get fed up. You got to get fed up. That's the first thing. He says, listen, if you look at verse 12, I want you to look at verse 12 of Philippians chapter 3. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. What he's saying is right here, I'm admitting that I'm not where I need to be. I'm admitting that I'm not all that I should be. I'm not saying that I've reached where I need to be. And this morning, if you want to be victorious, one of the keys to victory is you got to get fed up with where you are right now. You got to get to the point. Listen, you have to be honest with yourself. I love it. A mentor of mine, Eric Thomas, he says, listen, one of the failures of most people is the inability to self-assess. And you got to be honest with where you are right now and understand that I am not where I need to be. In order for you to be what God would have you to be, in order for you to walk in victory, you got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired of where you are right now. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a habit that you have. It could be an addiction you have. It could be an attitude. I don't know what it is. It could be you're tired of the way your finances are. But this morning, what God is telling you, you got to get to the point where you're fed up with where your situation is. Because you'll never experience victory till you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And how do you know when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's the only time change happens. See, that's the only time change happens. And one of the things that he says, listen, in the movie, there's a clip, and he says, listen, we're changing everything. We're going to change the way we eat. We're going to change the way we talk. We're going to change the way we tackle. I love that scene. And in the midst of it, he's telling them all this stuff that we're changing, and what does he have them doing? Up-downs. Anybody know what up-downs are? Up-downs are painful. When you come and listen, I'm going to give this because he's not in here right now, but my son is not used to pain. And I've been taking him to this trainer. And I've been taking him to this trainer because he loves basketball. I said, if you love basketball, you got to train. So the first day I took him to the trainer, he was in there. He started crying. And he was playing this other little boy, and the other little boy wasn't sweating. He wasn't sweating because the boy had been coming. And I said, boy, you're not used to running. After that, they made him go out there and run a half a mile. And he just, and it's hot. And he wanted to stop. And we said, you better finish it. The next day, I said, we going back. He said, oh, daddy, I'm sore. So we went back. And he wasn't doing up-downs, but he had the coach had him chopping his feet. And he would point to a cone, and he had to run to the cone and touch it. And all of a sudden, guess what? He started crying again. His legs are burning, and the pain is happening. And I'm here to tell you, son, listen, if you want to change the way your game is, you're going to have to endure some pain. Until you get fed up with somebody taking the ball from you, until you get fed up with losing, listen, if you're not fed up with losing, then you're not going to want to do what's necessary so you don't lose. And what's necessary is you're going to have to train. And training involves pain. And this morning, when you get fed up, I'm here to tell you that's when change will happen. But when change happens, but just because you're fed up, the change isn't automatic. You're still going to have to endure something. The Bible says those who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. So the thing is, if you want to be victorious, any good team, any successful organization, the players have to endure pain. Anybody who has earned anything, they got fed up with their situation, but it's not easy. There's no such thing as a free lunch in life and in your walk with God. Salvation is free. But walking with God sometimes, listen, anybody, if you come after him, he said, anyone who wants to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I'm here to tell you this morning, everybody in here said we want victory, but I'm here to tell you, I just want to let you know, if you want victory, how do you know somebody is really fed up? Then they're willing to pay whatever the price is. Whatever the price is, they're willing to pay it. Listen, whatever you call me to do, I'm willing to go. Listen, Paul said earlier in that verse, he said, I'm counting everything as a loss. I'm fed up with my old way of living, and I consider what Christ has is way more valuable. I'm fed up, and I'm willing to change. Because I'm willing to change, I'm willing to go through some pain. When Paul was getting ready to go to Jerusalem, the church said, hold up, Paul. When you go, man, you could die. Paul said, are you kidding? I'm not worried about them locking me up. Not only am I willing to be locked up, I'm willing to die for Jesus. I'm willing to lay my life down for the one who saved me.
He said, when you're fed up, when you're sick and tired of where you are, guess what? Then you'll change. But when you change, guess what? You got to get ready for some discomfort. You got to be ready for some discomfort. The first key to victory is you got to get fed up. This football team had to get fed up with the way they were doing things. And when you get fed up, what you're saying is, I'm tired of what I'm doing, and I recognize that God, you know best. That you know best. See, some of us, we say we want to be victorious, but listen, our behavior says something way different. There's a scene here. I want to play this scene. It's a scene in here where before the team came together, there were two fractured teams. One white, one black. And the white high school had one guy on the team named Jerry Bertier. He was an All-American. And Jerry Bertier was sort of like us. He approached Coach Boone sort of like we approach God sometimes. I want to show you what he did. Coach Boone had to get him in place.
How can I help you, boys?
I'm Gary Bertier. The only All-American you got on this team. You want any of us to play for you? You reserve half the open positions for Hammond players. Half the offense, half the special teams. We don't need any of your people on defense. We're already set.
Uh-huh. Don't need none of my people.
Mm-hmm.
What you say name was Jerry?
Gary.
No, you must have said Jerry, like Lewis, which would make you Dean Martin, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, got an announcement to make. We got Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin going to camp with us here this year. Jerry tells the jokes, Dean sings the songs, and gets the girl. Let's give him a round of applause.
Where's your folks, Gary? Parents, are they here? Where are they?
That's my mother.
That's your mama?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice, I want you. Take a good look at her. Because once you get on that bus, you ain't got no mama no more. You got your brothers on the team, and you got your daddy. Now, you know who your daddy is, don't you? Gary, if you want to play on this football team, you answer me when I ask you, who is your daddy? Who's your daddy, Gary? Who's your daddy?
You.
Uh-huh. And whose team is this? Is this your team, or is this your daddy's team?
Yours.
Mm-hmm. Get on the bus. Put your jacket on first. And get on the bus. Dean? Fix that tie, son.
That is hilarious. It's funny, but you know, we come to God like that. Sometimes we want to come to God and say, God, listen, I'm coming on the team, but I'm going to tell you, this is the way I do things. This is the way, we already have, listen, we already got a way that we want to do it. We want to approach God on our own terms. And God wants you to, listen, he's coming to you to say, listen, you got to, who's your daddy? You done got this twisted. You're not telling me what, you don't dictate the terms. You don't dictate the term. What God is telling you, when you come to him, listen, you got to get fed up with where you are and what you're doing. And that means you got to change, and you got to recognize that, God, you're right about everything, and it's your way or the highway. Ooh, that's big. Because sometimes I say I'm fed up, but God, I still got some stuff that I want to do my way. God said, until you come my way, it ain't happening. Number one, you got to get fed up. Not only do you got to get fed up, the next thing you got to do is forget. Say forget. We forget. Look at the passage. Look at the passage. He says, listen, and forgetting the past, verse 13, he said, this one thing that I do, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. If you want to be victorious, you've got to forget. You've got to forget. He said, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. The Bible in Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. This morning, if you want to walk in victory, there's some stuff you got to forget. Paul, right here, before we got to this passage, he started to recount all of his credentials. He was
Paul had an education. Paul had credentials. And Paul was saying, all of my credentials, all the stuff that people looked up to me for, that doesn't mean anything. You got to forget all that stuff. And this morning, if you want to walk in victory, you got to forget. You got to forget your old way of living. There's two things you got to forget. Number one, you got to forget your failures. This morning, there are some of us here who are paralyzed by our past. You have dropped the ball so many times, and you are not moving forward because you're stuck in what you did yesterday. And I'm so glad Daryl Coley has a song. I love this song. He says, he's already forgotten what I can't forget. He's already forgotten what I can't forget. He said, listen, what Paul is saying right here, listen, forgetting, this is one thing that I do. I'm forgetting the past and I'm looking forward. This morning, there are some failures in your past that you need to let go. If God has forgiven you, you got to forgive yourself. In order for you to be victorious, you cannot hold on to your failures of the past. Don't let your past failures paralyze you. But not only do you need to forget your past failures, but you need to forget your past successes. You got to forget your past successes. Why? Because sometimes some of us, and this is, the church is good at this. We're so long holding on to what we did yesterday. Somebody said, people who spend a whole lot of time talking about what they did yesterday haven't done much today. You not only got to forget your failures of your past, but you got to forget your successes. Because listen, you can't sit here and bask on what you did yesterday. We can't bask on, listen, praise God, God uses mightily. Two people came to know Christ, and we're talking about that a month from now, and we haven't been back out in the field to win nobody else. Guess what? We're stuck. Some of us are stuck because of our past success. He says, listen, what he says in the passage, he says, what I do is forgetting the past. The one thing that I do, I'm forgetting the past, looking forward to what's ahead. This morning, what are some of the failures of your past that you need to forget? What are some of the successes that you're holding on to, that you're reveling in, that you keep rehashing, that you haven't gotten moved off of where you are right now? Today, y'all hear me say this all the time, and I'm going to keep saying it until we get it, that right now in the United States, most churches, only 5% of the churches in America are growing. 85% of the churches are declining. 85%. 5% growing, and it says 10% of them are just staying the same. And what is happening is, what happened is, as the church, as individuals, but as the church, as the body of Christ, we get caught up of doing what we did yesterday, what worked last year, what worked 5 years ago, how successful the program was. We're not changing. And we're not transforming. We're not doing anything different. What God is saying, don't get stuck because of your past success. I went into a Christian bookstore the other day, and I just got sad because, you know what? This is the only Christian bookstore that I could know about in the area, and it's almost empty. Churches are emptying out. The Christian bookstores are emptying out. Why? We're so busy thinking about the past that we're not moving forward and doing what God calls us to do today. What you got to, if you want to be a success, one of the keys is you got to get fit up with where you are. But number two, you got to forget. You got to forget your past. You got to forget what you failed at, and you got to forget the successes that you had in the past. Listen, your past successes, I'm not telling you to ignore them, but use those as fuel to go into the future. Use your failures as lessons. Every loss should be a lesson. Use them as a lesson. Don't beat yourself up. When you beat yourself up, it's like the prodigal son. If the longer he rehashed how he messed up, he stayed in a pig pen and he didn't get any better. It's not until he got fed up that he went back home to the father's house. So you get fed up. Number two, you got to do what? Forget. You got to be fed up. You got to forget. And then once you forget, now you got to focus. Say focus. You got to get focused. Look at the passage. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, said, but I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. What does he do? He forgets the past and he does what? I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing. I'm looking toward what lies ahead. And he's trying to reach what? The prize. You got to focus on the prize. You got to focus on the prize at the end of the race to receive the prize for which God is calling him. What is the prize, y'all? What's the prize? Y'all know what the prize is? See, a lot of times when we look at that passage, and I've read some translations talk about the heavenly prize, and we can get confused that the prize is heaven. Heaven's not the prize. Heaven is not the prize. I want you to know what Paul sees as the prize. I want you to see what Paul sees as the prize. He says, listen, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He said the prize to me is to be in fellowship, to be connected. The prize to me is Jesus. The prize to me is Jesus. That's what you got to say. Listen, you got to focus. That's why the Bible says fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. God is calling you this morning to focus. What do you need to focus on? You got to keep your eyes focused on Christ. That's what, if you want to be victorious, that's the only way for you to have victory this morning is for you to keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. See, there's an acronym on focus that says, follow one course until successful. In our Christian walk, we're trying to focus on we're trying to do a whole lot of things. And I'm here to tell you, you know, and even as a pastor in churches, it's very tempting. There's so much literature and there's so much stuff out there on different ways of outreach and different ways to do ministry. And God said, if you just focus on one thing, if you focus on doing what God has called us to do, what is the Great Commission? Great Commandment and Great Commission. Love God, love people, make disciples. Focus. And what God is calling you right now to do is focus. Listen, you don't have to worry. This is the good thing about focusing on Jesus Christ. You want to know how to listen. Your marriage might be bad. You don't have to worry about, let me read some things on being a better husband. Just focus on his word. Your finances are bad. Guess what? Focus on the one thing. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You're not a good student. Focus on the book. Focus on him. This is the thing. In him is everything you need for life and godliness. All of it is in Jesus. So if I focus on Jesus, guess what? Everything else falls into line. Man, isn't that awesome? We are so easily distracted. This world is presenting us with a lot of things that seem good. And what God is telling us this morning, listen, if you want victory, if you want to have a victorious life, all you got to do is focus on Christ. Focus on him, everything else falls into place. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Boy, that makes life real simple, doesn't it? Because life can be, anybody, sometimes does life seem complicated and confusing and convoluted? And the reason why it gets that way sometimes is because we lost focus. We've gotten our eyes off the main thing. You know, when we focus on him, he brings everything else into line in our lives. That's how you have victory. My question this morning, are you fed up with where you are? If you're fed up with where you are now, that's when change will happen. I just want to warn you, before the change happens, you got to endure some pain. And as you go through the pain, I want you to recognize that what God is calling you to do is forget your past. Forget your failures of your past. Don't dwell on your past successes because you don't want to get paralyzed by them. But what he's calling you to do now is focus on the one thing. And what's the one thing? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And once you focus, now that you focused on him, and this morning I pray that somebody gets focused on him. But guess what? After that, the next thing, if you get fed up, if you forget, if you focus, then finally you can finish strong. You can finish strong. What God is calling, he wants us to finish. He wants us to have a strong finish. There are a lot of people who start good. You look in the Old Testament, you can see a lot of the kings who had a good start. Hezekiah, he started good, but there's a lot of people who started good, but they didn't finish strong. What God wants you to do, now that you get focused now, once you get your eyes focused on Jesus, do you know that distractions won't stop? They're going to keep coming. The enemy is going to try to put everything in your way to get your eyes off of Jesus. When Jesus came to the disciples walking on water, Jesus called Peter to come to him, Peter was walking because he had his eyes fixed on Jesus. But as soon as the waves and all of that around him, his eyes got distracted, what happened to Peter? He started sinking. And the same thing will happen with you and I. And the thing about it is, when Peter stepped out of the boat, the waves didn't stop, the wind didn't stop. It was still going on, but he had his eyes. He was laser focused. But what happens is when we look to the left and the right at the storms of life around us, we get our eyes off of Jesus. And guess what? Then we sink. Where God is calling you, focus, but he wants you to finish strong. You got to stay the course. If we turn and look at verse 15 through verse 21. I'm going to read this and then we'll get ready to close. It says, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we've already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. What God is calling you to do this morning, he wants you to finish the course. In order for you to finish strong and stay the course, there's a couple of things you got to do. In verse 15, he says, listen, if you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. And then he tells him right here, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. How can you finish strong? What are some ways you can finish strong? What you need to do, you got to focus on the book, but you know what? You need to pattern your life. You need to have somebody in your life to help keep you accountable. In order for us to be victorious, and listen, as a church and as an individual in your walk with God, you got to have somebody to keep you accountable. There's one scene in Remember the Titans I love, and that guy, Gary Bertier, the white linebacker. He and there's another guy, Julius. They were at odds. He was an African American guy, and Gary had to approach him one day and said, "Listen, man, you're not getting all your potential because your attitude is bad. Your attitude is bad." He had to check him. And listen, he had to check him to help get him in line. And if you want to be victorious, you got to have some people in your life who can check you. You got to have some people in your life who can say, listen, who you can pattern after, that who are leading by example, and you can watch them and they can also pour into your life. That is so important. You got to focus on the book, but you cannot walk this life. You cannot walk this walk as a Christian on solo. There are no Lone Ranger believers. If you're trying to do it on your own, you are going to get beat up. And matter of fact, if you're trying to do it on your own, it's probably because you ain't living right. Amen. See, people who want to walk the walk with Christ, you ever heard people tell you, see, my walk with God is personal. It's personal. What that means is I don't want you in my business. And this is the thing about it is when you're really walking with God like you should be, your life should be an open book. We should be transparent. And the fact of the matter is, when I'm not living a transparent life and there are not people in my life who I'm patterning my life after and I've given license to check me, that means I'm not really fed up. I kind of like the way I'm still doing things. My question this morning, if you're fed up, in order for you to finish strong, do you have some people in your life that you can pattern your life after and who can check you when you're wrong? That help keep you accountable. And see, and we got to be careful. We got to watch the distraction. So he said, listen, you got to pattern your life after them. And he said, I've told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross. They're really enemies of Christ. What he's saying is, what he's talking about is in the church. He's not talking about people who are outside. He's saying in the church, there are many whose conduct, who really say, they say they're followers of Christ, but there are many of them who are enemies because their life says something different. My prayer this morning is that we not be one of those. He said, how do you know them? Because they're headed for destruction. Why? Their God is their appetite. And I'm not talking about just what they eat, their desires. And they live after however they feel. That's a sign that though they might be in the church, they might not be part of the church. You got to beware of that. And as believers, when we see that, what we got to do is check it. You got to check. That's a behavior that you cannot let linger in the house of God. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things and they think only about this life here on earth. You know, this is a great place to see that. Now you really can see that. See, a lot of times, it used to be such that people could be living two different lives and you didn't know it. But Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and everything else makes you be able to see everything. So you see people in church, boy, if they haven't blocked you on social media, you really get to see what the deal is. Social media is something else. Because it amazes me sometimes who people I see, not necessarily this church, but people who are in church, and I see their Facebook profile and their Instagram posts, and I'm like, I'm just thoroughly confused. Because listen, the Bible, we got to watch your life and doctrine closely. If you truly are a follower of Christ, if you're focused on one thing, it's going to affect everything that you do. And what you got to recognize, if there are some people that are around you that we might believe that are in the faith, that they may not be in the faith. Well, how do you know? Lifestyle. The lifestyle says it all. So what God is calling you to do is to walk in victory. If you want to walk in victory this morning, my question to you is, are you fed up with where you are right now? Are you sick and tired of going through that same cycle, making the same mistakes? If you're fed up, now God is calling you to change this morning. And as he's calling you to change, just get ready to endure some pain, endure some discomfort. But guess what? The suffering doesn't last always. The Bible says this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working exceeding glory that you cannot even imagine. So you got to get fed up. And now also what you got to do is forget. Whatever it is that you did yesterday, whatever it is in your past that you messed up, whatever it is, God is saying, listen, I've already forgotten what you can't forget. That's what I died for. I died for that. Listen, if I'm forgetting it, casting it into a sea of forgetfulness, that's not a scripture, but it's the principle is the same. So don't go quoting to say the Bible says that. It's a principle. He will take it and he'll cast it away. That's what he does with our sins. If he does that, listen, do you know what a freeing thing that is? To know that God says, I will remember your sins no more. Y'all, that is such a blessing to me, because I don't know about y'all, I mess up on a daily basis. And I can beat myself up. But God is saying, I've already forgotten it. Forget it. And also your successes, don't get stuck in them. Forget them. Focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. How do I focus on Christ? How do you get your mind on Christ? You got to get in the Word of God, y'all. There's no shortcut. There's no shortcut to focusing on Christ. You can't sing your way into focus. You know, that helps, but there's going to have to come a time where you get on your face before God and spend some time in the Word and prayer. You got to focus on Him, because He is the Word. And after you got in your focus this morning, what He wants you to do is finish strong. Stay the course. Stay the course. And listen, when you stay the course, what happens, you'll be just like the guys in the movie. I love it. There was one of the scenes in the movie. He says, we will be perfect in every way. We will be perfect in everything we do. He said, if you fumble, I'm going to break my foot off in your John Brown hind parts, and you're going to run a mile. Because we're going to do this over and over and over again till we get it right. What God is calling us, He's calling us to be the perfecting church. We might not be perfect, but we're striving for perfection. God was calling us to strive for perfection, that we be imitators of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, guess what? You will begin to walk in victory as you focus on Him, and it'll be victory, guess what, throughout and all of your life. You can be victorious in your finances. You can be victorious in your marriage. You can be victorious in your business. You can be victorious with raising your children. Why? When you focus on Him. Amen?
That's what God does want. He does want you to experience victory in all those areas of your life. But you know, the reason why we don't experience that victory, the reason why all of us fall short of that victory, is because of a little three-letter word called sin. See, sin just simply means to miss the mark. And the first thing that Jesus came, didn't just come to give you victory in those areas of your life. He came to give us victory over sin. He came to give us victory over the penalty of sin. He came to give you victory over the power of sin, and then one day the very presence of sin in your life. And see, what sin does, sin separates us from God. Sin simply means to fall short of God's standard. It's a term that's used in archery. It means to miss the mark. God has a mark, perfection. And in order for us to be accepted into God's presence, we got to be perfect. And that poses a problem, because none of us are perfect and we are all in trouble. So Jesus came. What He did, He came to give us victory over sin. He came to defeat the penalty of sin. The Bible says that the penalty, the wages of sin, is death. He came to defeat the power of sin. He said that I'm no longer in debt. I don't have to live according to that anymore. That the law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And one day when I put my very faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for me, He will one day deliver me from the very presence of sin. I will be, listen, to be absent in my body, to be present with the Lord. Today, if you want victory over sin in your life, we talked about four keys to victory. If you want to experience all those victory in all those areas of your life, it first starts with you having victory over sin, the very penalty of sin. Again, as I said earlier, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm here to let you know that God loves you. He wants a personal relationship with you, and He wants you to walk in victory. But walking in victory starts with you first admitting to God that I'm not perfect. You got to admit to God that I'm not perfect. We call it being a sinner, being fallen short. I'm not perfect, God. I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of Your glory, of Your standard. You got to do that first. And after you've admitted to God that you've fallen short of His standard, you must believe that God has sent the solution for my sin. You must believe that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, that He lived on this earth, and He walked just like you and I. He went through the Bible says He was tempted in all points like I was, but He never sinned, so that He can qualify to be this perfect sacrifice for all of us. And why was that necessary? Because the Bible established that without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness of sins. So you got to believe that Jesus Christ came to be the perfect sacrifice. Now behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. You got to believe that He lived, that He died, that He was buried, and He rose again. Finally, C, A, B, C, admit, believe, see, choose. You got to make a choice. You got to make a conscious choice to invite Jesus Christ into your life, to be your substitute, to take your place. God, the Bible said God made him who never sinned to be sin for us. You must make the choice to invite him into your life, forgive you of all of your sins, and make you who he wants you to be. If you make that decision, the Bible says this. This is what it says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. I'll give you eternal life and you'll never perish. And not only that, it's not about just eternal life. That's the byproduct. That's the one day we're going to be delivered from the presence of sin. But when I come and accept him into my life, we said it last week, now he makes you super. You've got the presence of God in your life so that you can be victorious in every aspect of your life. That's what he wants for you. If you want to make that decision so that you can have victory over sin in your life, will you pray with me? I just want to say a simple prayer. If you want to have victory over sin in your life, have Jesus Christ to come and forgive you of all of your sins and make you who he wants you to be and dwell his spirit indwelling you so that you can be victorious. I want you to say this to God. Dear God, I admit to you today that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I believe that he was buried and that he rose again. And today I make the choice to invite Jesus into my life, to forgive me of all of my sins, and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. If that prayer expressed the desire of your heart, congratulations. What you did, you invited Jesus Christ to come in to forgive you of your sins. And now, if you meant that from the bottom of your heart, he says, now I will give you eternal life and you'll never perish. What has happened? It was an exchange. He took our mess, and now the righteousness of Christ now is accrues to you. Now when God looks at you, he no longer sees our mess. He sees his son, his perfect son. Congratulations. Now he's invited you into his family. Now you can walk in victory. Amen.